Salam sejahtera, anda sedang menonton Awani Global bersama saya, Naila Huda. Pada Februari, kita bakal masuk tahun kedua sejak rampasan kuasa dilancarkan Junta Tentera Myanmar terhadap kerajaan de facto pimpinan Aung San Suu Kyi. Setakat ini dianggarkan lebih 1,400 terkorban, manakala 12,000 yang lain ditahan sejak kudeta dilancarkan. 5-point consensus ataupun 5 perkara konsensus ASEAN yang dipersetujui sejak tahun lepas sehingga kini dilihat masih tiada pencapaian yang ketara. Dan ASEAN bawah pimpinan Kemboja sebagai pengerusi tahun ini. Bagaimana ASEAN akan berusaha untuk mencapai 5 perkara konsensus dan juga melihat pada masa yang sama lawatan Perdana Menteri Kemboja Hun Sen ke Myanmar berjumpa dengan Min Aung Hlaing pada awal bulan ini. Adakah ini dilihat sebagai satu langkah ke hadapan atau langkah ke belakang dengan hanya memberi legitimasi kepada junta tentera? Dan bersama saya dalam Awani Global jam ini untuk mengupas mengenai krisis di Myanmar, apa strategi yang perlu diperhalusi ASEAN pada tahun ini, sudah bersedia Dr. Lina Alexandra, penyelaras program Inisiatif Myanmar di CSIS Indonesia. Thank you so much, Dr. Lina, for joining me today on Awani Global. First off, I want to start with the current situation in Myanmar. We're about to enter year two since the coup. How do you view the current situation in Myanmar? Has this remained the same since last year, or perhaps is it any different?
Well, basically, me personally look at the situation now in Myanmar. It has not so much progress on the ground. It's still pretty much a grim situation on the ground. Of course, the military has continued its pressure, its crackdown against the civilian protesters. And, you know, in many areas, there have been clashes on the ground between the military and ethnic armed groups. And more importantly, regarding the implementation of the five-point consensus that ASEAN has issued in April last year, there has not been significant progress in terms of achieving the points in the five-point consensus in terms of the ceasefire among the conflicting parties and the delivery of humanitarian assistance facilitated by ASEAN. And of course, the most important thing is the facilitation of the dialogue between the conflicting parties. Those things have not been achieved, let alone ASEAN has already currently, under Cambodia, already have two special envoys. The first one is from Brunei, and now from Cambodia. And of course, it's not fair to judge the performance of the current special envoy. But basically, from what we are seeing now, at least the beginning of the year, it doesn't really look good at the start. So you might have to wait and see how it will develop.
We do have to wait and see how it develops this year, but what we have seen so far is the Cambodian Prime Minister's visit to Myanmar earlier this month. What do you make of this visit?
Well, I think, of course, as the head of the government and head of state, Prime Minister Hun Sen has all the right to visit and to meet the invitation from the military junta in Myanmar. But as we all know, that he is also, Cambodia holds the chairmanship of ASEAN this year. So we cannot detach that particular position or status of Cambodia as the chair of ASEAN. And this visit should actually become the opportunity for Hun Sen, both as the head of state of Cambodia, but also as the chair of ASEAN, to really negotiate and talk with the military junta regarding the achievement of or the implementation of the five-point consensus. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, regarding the process, I don't think there has been consultation, thorough or deep consultation with the other leaders of ASEAN to really formulate the agenda regarding on what he needs to say with the military junta. And obviously, there has been some tensions or disagreement from the ASEAN leaders, as we learn from the statements from the Foreign Minister of Malaysia, Foreign Ministers of Singapore, that they do not see the visit has brought about a fruitful achievement in terms of the five-point consensus implementation. So. Yeah, so that's basically because there has been no consultation whatsoever. with the other ASEAN member states.
You mentioned the lack of thorough collaboration or consultation with other ASEAN leaders. I want to look at Cambodia's foreign minister's statement previously where he said his country as ASEAN chair would take different approaches to the Myanmar crisis. What can we expect and what do we know based on Cambodia's past experiences in diplomacy, its relationship with Myanmar? What can we expect with Cambodia as chair of ASEAN?
Well, I think in terms of the qualities that Cambodia has, we know Cambodia has had the experience before with its own internal conflict during the 70s up to 90s. At that time, Cambodia had not joined ASEAN, but then Cambodia has become the benefactor of ASEAN facilitation process at that time, led by Indonesia. So in terms of those qualities, actually on the paper, Cambodia has those qualities to be a good chair and leading ASEAN together to lead the peace facilitation process in Myanmar. But again, I think there are certain other works that need to be done. You know, not only those qualities, those capacities, but certainly this should be treated not as a one-man show. This should be treated as the ASEAN effort in which Cambodia is the chair. So the main task of Cambodia is to bring ASEAN together, to unite the 9 ASEAN member states to come with the common approach on how ASEAN should make a breakthrough in helping Myanmar as a member of ASEAN to really settle their own problem.
In a policy brief, you stressed that as Myanmar continues its descent into being a failed state, time is of the essence. And we're talking about how we should not be treating it as a one-man show. But do you see that ASEAN should be given more time and space to push for a breakthrough in implementing the 5-point consensus? As we've seen in the past year, there's been plenty of time and space. A lot of the regional major powers have stayed on the sidelines. Should they be given more time?
Well, the problem is, as much as ASEAN wants to be given much more time, as you mentioned, as I mentioned in my previous policy brief as well, time is ticking. The situation cannot wait for ASEAN to delay any longer. That's the problem. That's why the role of the chair, the role of the special envoy are very, very crucial to really set up their footprints, to really set up their foot in Myanmar to bring the conflicting parties to the negotiation table. But at the same time, of course, they need to do a kind of a ceasefire, or I prefer the term humanitarian pause. So both parties, they need to stop the hostilities, to stop the violence, to allow this humanitarian assistance to be delivered into the country, because we know the situation in the country, because of the political crisis and humanitarian crisis, have been so grievous, added by the COVID-19 pandemics, as we all know. But the main task really is how to restore democracy back in Myanmar, while certainly meet the needs of the people on the ground in terms of assistance.
Just on that note about the 5-point consensus, how do you see the progress, or perhaps the lack of progress? Because there has been some different views within ASEAN member states. Some see there being no progress at all. Some see, as you know, the visit made by the Cambodian Prime Minister as being at least some effort towards achieving more dialogue with Myanmar in efforts to achieve the 5-point consensus. But how do you see the progress in achieving the 5 points?
Well, I think on the one hand, you can say this is a kind of bold move that have been taken by the prime ministers of Cambodia. It shows certain, maybe you can call it activism or whatsoever, compared to the previous one, the previous chair. But on the other hand, if we look deeper into the substance. I don't think it really, as I put my opinion just last time in the Jakarta Post, that it's not ticking the box. It's still not yet ticking the boxes of the five-point consensus. First, when we talk about cessation of violence, it's not the ceasefire between the military and the ethnic armed groups. What is meant by the five-point consensus is the cessation of violence between the military and the pro-democracy groups. In terms of the humanitarian assistance delivery, I think there is certain progress in terms of putting up the idea of organizing a meeting among several stakeholders, including the ASEAN Humanitarian Assistance Center, AHA Center, and with the Myanmar Red Cross, and also other local stakeholders, plus the UN agencies. I think to some point, we have to admit that's a good start. But what we want to question more is, will this process be impartial? Because what we see in terms of the local stakeholders, they are the agencies or the actors that are being appointed or selected by the military junta. We don't really see whether the other side have been also taken into account as part of the maybe soon enough will become the so-called humanitarian task force, for example. And we know in the structure of AHA Center itself, it's still the representative of the military junta that is part of the we call it as a governing board or something. So what we need to make sure is the humanitarian task force, if there is any, it will be impartial. Mm-hmm. But the most detrimental problem with the meeting, the result of the meeting, is in the joint press release we can see that the military junta says that the five-point consensus is in line with the 5 points of the roadmap of the military junta. That is a total mistake. That really implies that the five-point consensus is actually reflecting or being steered or being driven by the agenda of the military junta. And ASEAN should avoid that kind of trap, because as we know from the outset, the military has been trying to twist the five-point consensus as to be implemented according to the pace, according to the intention of the military junta. And it should not be like that.
Now, I want to move on to another thing that you mentioned in your policy brief regarding the role of the roles of regional major powers in dealing with the Myanmar crisis. Why have regional major powers like China, India and South Korea, why have they remained on the sidelines throughout this crisis?
Well, basically, I think it's quite normal, of course, for these major powers or regional powers to be cautious in their steps. For realistic reason, they need to preserve or maintain their interests in the country. For obvious reasons, they have investment, they have trade relations, they have other connections, political connections in the country. I think it's for obvious reasons. They need to convince themselves that they are dealing with the right, so-called the right authorities, you know. But then I think, of course, what I see, even including China, these major powers or regional powers, they have the same interest to see in Myanmar, which is peace and stability. And to some extent, they want to see democracies being restored in the country, because that is something that will guarantee the peace and stability to be restored in the country. No one wants to see violence as it is taking place right now. None of the countries, I think, would like to see that. So, but then they need to be ensured about how the local actors, how these stakeholders in Myanmar will settle the problems among themselves. You know, they respect that these actors deal with their own problems. And I think it's a good sign, to be honest. The most important point is how these Myanmar stakeholders, facilitated or helped by ASEAN, to really come up with their specific needs. How do they want the regional powers to help them? They should be the one that tell the regional powers, okay, these are the things that you need to help us. Instead of they put in their own agenda. This is something that we don't want to see. That's the role of ASEAN, to help their own member states to come up with these ideas, to formulate, okay, you know, ASEAN should lead all the process while these regional actors work through ASEAN to help Myanmar. Just like in the Nargis situation, of course we cannot, this is not apple to apple comparison with Nargis, it's totally different conflict, different type of conflict, different type of crisis. But the way the solution or the role is being coordinated is still exactly the same. ASEAN should be the leading coordinator on how we should engage these regional powers. So I think it's good to let these regional powers to be like that. They're cautious, they're waiting for the signals from Myanmar and ASEAN itself. Okay, here are the areas where we need the regional powers to play a role.
You see it being as a good sign that these regional major powers they have some sort of respect towards stakeholders solving these problems themselves in the first place. Why do you see this as being a good sign, and what could perhaps be some risks if regional major powers were to step in? Could there be a risk of creating an even bigger mess in Myanmar?
Yeah, if ASEAN cannot come up, you know, and I mean, like helping the local stakeholders in Myanmar to come up with the rules of the game, you know, on how we want these regional powers to step in and to play a role. That is exactly where the danger is, right? So the first thing is ASEAN has to be united in this case, because once these regional powers see ASEAN is being divided and cannot come up with the common approach and united approach on how they should deal with Myanmar, this is exactly the crack where these regional powers can seize in and then put forward their vested interests. You know, that's why, you don't want someone else to meddle into your own problems, you know, intervene into your domestic affairs. But yeah, you cannot avoid that is happening if you don't deal with your own problem. So it's up to you. Yeah. So, and that's exactly the thing that we can actually say to Myanmar. I mean, like ASEAN can say to Myanmar, if you don't want to work together with ASEAN, then we cannot avoid that these regional powers, these major powers can just step in and then ruin everything. And that's exactly that we don't want to see. That's why you need really to work together with ASEAN, because ASEAN is a family. ASEAN can really shield you from this so-called foreign intervention.
Do you see there being enough dialogue so far between all stakeholders, local stakeholders, the civil society, as well as ASEAN member states?
Well, I think it's still very limited for obvious reasons. The military has been put a lot of pressures, especially for the civil society, to engage with the other stakeholders in the region. But I think there are certainly a lot of opportunities, as we can see. Despite of all the pressures, the control from the military, I think there has been increasing engagement between the stakeholders in Myanmar and the regional stakeholders. at the civil society level and the think tank level, I think there has been some quite extensive engagement, especially because some are not really based in Myanmar. You know, there are some exiles. They are still have the, you know, some rooms to actually engage. So I think that, of course, it's not enough. There should be more and more engagement whatsoever with the external stakeholders.
Of the five-point consensus, one of the most urgent points that needs to be addressed is providing humanitarian assistance. But what's been outlined in the five-point consensus is providing humanitarian assistance through the AHA Center. How has this been going? Previously, you said there's been a little progress in providing humanitarian assistance, but how has this been going overall and what needs to be improved?
Well, I think the idea has been put forward in the joint press release. I haven't heard so far how that is being operationalized so far, because we know AHA Center itself is not designed to operate in this type of situation. Internal conflict, internal crisis, it has not been equipped or be given capacities to do so. They are excellent in terms of resources to be deployed for natural disaster situation, but they are not to be, I don't think they have the mandate at the most. They don't have the mandate to operate in this type of situation where local authorities, they are competing for legitimacy. Mm-hmm. So it's very challenging on how AHA can actually operate on the ground. But again, what I personally think, and we in CSIS have come up with some ideas, is creating more of a mission, actually, a larger mission, and where this humanitarian task force can be part of the mission, and they should be able to operate from within Myanmar. I know it probably sounds hypothetical, but from the very beginning, I think it's very clear. We don't want the AHA Center only operate to bring aid and stop at the airport and let the military to distribute the aid because of the type of crisis that they have. In terms of a natural disaster situation, in that particular context, that can be done because you have one legitimate authority to do so. But in this type of crisis, we cannot let the military forces to deliver aid. I think it's quite very logical question whom to whom they will deliver those assistance. You know, it's not going to reach to the people in the most needy people, right? So that's exactly the point that ASEAN should think about really when they design this humanitarian task force. The help of the United Nations agencies and the existing humanitarian agencies that are already working on the ground in Myanmar, I think ASEAN will need certainly to collaborate with them. But the thing is, ASEAN needs to create the mechanism on how they can ensure that this assistance will reach to the people that are in need. But what we are thinking is to have the mission that is reflecting the five-point consensus, the three key major tasks. First is the cessation of violence. You know, so we have this kind of monitoring mission, something like that. And second, we have something like the human task force itself. And the third one, we can have a kind of a dialogue office, I must say. Mm-hmm. You know, that is according to the five-point consensus, it should be led directly by the special envoy, assisted by the Secretary General. So this type of mission is something that is needed, but this is in the ideal setting. We don't know whether this can be implemented on the ground, but at least if the humanitarian task force can start first, then we can think of other mechanism. But the most important thing, the message is for the special envoy not to work in the setting of shadow diplomacy. They need to work from within the Myanmar. The office should reside there to be able to really work effectively on the ground.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lina. Itu tadi Dr. Lina Alexandra, penyelaras program inisiatif Myanmar di CSIS Indonesia. Sikit banyak kongsikan pandangan mengenai krisis di Myanmar, apa yang boleh kita jangkakan pada tahun ini dengan Kemboja sebagai pengerusi ASEAN dan apa yang perlu dilakukan lagi negara-negara anggota ASEAN supaya krisis di Myanmar ini tidak terus berpanjangan. Terima kasih sekali lagi kepada Dr. Lina. Itu sahaja perkongsian dalam Awani Global jam ini. Bersama saya, Nala Huda. Kita jumpa lagi. Salam hormat.